Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word comes to us today from the Gospel according to Mark in the 13th chapter, picking up again at verse 33. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the cock crows or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. This is God's word. You really don't know a person until you've seen them wait. Then you learn quite a bit. Every day we see things like impatient drivers tailgating, shoppers with very loud whispers complaining about the person who needs a price check. You know how it goes. When waiting is a matter of life or death, like sitting outside the emergency room, even more comes to the surface. Right now, the world is on the edge of its collective seat, waiting for vaccines to arrive. Suffice it to say that human beings are not fans of waiting. But if we let ourselves reflect, we may grudgingly admit that at times it has been good for us to wait. That's a turn that the Bible invites you to make, and to push that a little further, biblical faith recommends that you embrace waiting when what you're waiting for is the return of Jesus. Today, you heard Jesus tell a story about a man who goes on a journey. He doesn't tell his servants where he is going or when he will come home again. He leaves his servants in charge of his home and property and gives them work to do while he's away. He then leaves, and his last word to his servants as he closes the door is to be diligent and ready for his return, whenever that might be. This is not unlike parents who leave their son or daughter at home to look after the house, giving them instructions on what to do. When mom and dad have finally gone, there is that wonderful feeling of freedom. The whole house is yours. You can eat what you want, drink what you want, leave your clothes lying all over the place, stay up as long as you like, sleep in until lunchtime. However, if the parents are away for a while and the unwatered plants are looking very sad, and all the food is cleaned out of the cupboards, no more dishes will fit in the sink, and you've run out of clean underwear, the time has come to make a decision. If the mess doesn't bother you and you don't care what mom and dad are going to say, you have no worries. But if you take seriously the instructions that were given, then you'll want to do your best to carry them out. They could be back at any time. It would be too late to get busy making beds, washing dishes, sweeping floors, starting that load of laundry when the car pulls into the driveway. It would be even worse if you woke up in the middle of the night to find your parents standing at the foot of the bed and you're totally unprepared. Jesus' parable tells us to wait, while at the same time reminding us that we have jobs to do while he is away. We are in that time between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, and Jesus has told us simply, while I'm gone, do the work. What work is that? It's work driven by kingdom values. Doing unto others as he has done for us. Feeding the hungry. Welcoming the stranger. Caring for the vulnerable. All of it making Christ known. All of it keeping the house in order. It's not boring waiting. It's active waiting that our Lord is looking for in us. Now, you can choose to wait passively, like sitting in a waiting room at the doctor's, scrolling through your smartphone or daydreaming a bit, just killing time until you're called in for your appointment. Passive waiting doesn't require much energy or attention or commitment. If God wants us, we might think, he's all-knowing. He knows where to find us. In the meantime, we'll deal with our own concerns. We'll set our own agenda. Prayer, worship, mission, the Bible, deliberately living a Christ-centered life, there will be time for that later. Until there isn't. Let me say it like this. If you believe that Jesus will keep his word and come again, then right now, please examine how active you have been while waiting. The work of the kingdom has been entrusted to you and me. Our master expects us to be faithful. Like the parents who trust their teenager to look after the house while they're away, Jesus trusts you and me to live out his values until he returns. And as I mentioned before, biblical faith invites you to embrace waiting for Jesus. To embrace waiting for Jesus as a lifestyle of active service. The end of one liturgical church year and the beginning of another blend this theme of waiting in a variety of ways. For example, right now we are waiting for the return of Jesus the King. Long ago, God's people waited for his first arrival. Of course, we are all waiting during the next couple of weeks for the event of Christmas. So we use the word Advent to remind us that all of this activity and all of this busyness signals an arrival. The arrival of a person. And with the arrival of that person, something new begins. At the advent of this person, you will want to have kept his house in order. But please do not do this work out of a sense of fear, or not wanting to get caught. Do it because you love the one who is returning and you want to please him because of your respect, your admiration for him that's off the charts. And that sort of love and respect and adoration skyrockets when you realize what he has done for you. The advent of Jesus happened in the first place because humanity needed something. And it was not another good example to follow. There were plenty of those already. Humanity did not need another lawgiver. There were plenty of those too. The situation was much, much worse. Humanity needed to be redeemed and rescued. Humanity needed to be purchased, cleaned up, restored. It was either that or a downward spiral into self-destruction, a self-imposed exile from goodness, and finally, an exile from God. Someone in a position to help was going to have to show up and help. And Jesus showed up. We remember that at Advent. And in a sense, we are also rehearsing that at Advent, because it's going to happen again. The first time Jesus showed up, he showed up to make a ransom payment. Jesus came to acquire you and me and all people held in captivity by sin and darkness. The ransom price was high. Jesus became the prisoner to let us go free. Does this exchange register with you? Do you feel the weight of it? His life for yours. That's what happened. His crucifixion and resurrection for us. That was the result of the first Advent. But why? Why did he do it? Why go through with it? To use the language of the parable, when the master of the house returns, he wants you to be there. That's why. When Jesus returns in glory, he wants to find you waiting for him, expectantly, actively. With the arrival of that person, something new begins. Aren't you ready for that? Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we are between two Advents, the arrival of the baby in a manger. That's the first one. The arrival of the King on his throne. That's the second. in between those two Advents, our rescue was carried out. The price paid by Jesus on the cross, the power for our restoration generated by His resurrection. And at His ascension into heaven, He took the throne of His Father to rule. We do not know the day, we do not know the hour when the King will return. So let our lives be pointed in that direction. May our thoughts and our actions be shaped by that knowledge, that faith, that expectant hope that the King is coming. And when He comes, He will take us to His side because He has paid for each one of us with His own blood. Teach us the art of this waiting, that we may do so with great and abiding joy and share our hope in Jesus with the world. In His name we pray. Amen.